First Corinthians chapter number 1, look at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for health and strength to be here today. We thank you for those that have been out and are back. I pray, God, you continue to be with them. Be with those that are in rehab and those that are hurting even today. May your spirit strengthen them today. And Lord, and give them encouragement. Lord, to look forward to days ahead, how you're going to raise them up. Thank you for your word now. Thank you for these that have come today. And I pray, God, our time in your house today will be profitable for us. And God, it bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faithfulness to God's word. God's word referred to as the Bible being a book. We also talk about God's word as being scriptures. Also, the law is called, referred to many things. But today we look at the word of God, and I want us to look at how to be faithful to God's word. How to be faithful to God's word. Three thoughts here. First of all, we see in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. To the unsaved person today, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. In other words, they're unlearned. They don't know. They don't understand. And so we see here, to them, they don't understand. But to us that are saved, we know what it is, the power of God unto salvation, the preaching of the word. So we see here how to be faithful to God's word. How to be faithful to the word of God. First of all, this thought, listen to God when his word is taught or preached. Listen to God. Don't listen to the personality, but listen to God when God's word is taught or preached to us. This is very, very important. Now, I know personalities play a lot in being delivering God's word. I know that. But the main thing we need to focus on is listening to God when his word is read, when his word is proclaimed, because God wants to show us something. You know, when people are trying to teach us or preachers are trying to preach to us, we see three things sometimes involved with people. First of all, when people talk during the time someone is speaking, there's three things going on primarily. When people are talking, they are not listening to the teaching or the preaching of the Word of God. You can't be talking and listening to someone else that's talking at the same time. It's impossible. You have confronted, I have too, and I have to watch myself. Whenever I'm talking to somebody or someone's talking to me, when someone's talking to me, I need to be quiet until they finish talking to me. And then I can talk to them. Because when someone starts talking to me and I start talking back to them at the same time, it's crash, right? And neither one of us hear what's going on. See, so this is what happens sometimes when people talk during preaching. You see, they're not listening to the preacher. They're not listening to the teacher. Also, they're not listening, most of all, to God. They're not listening to God. Because they can't hear it, because their mind is on something else. Also, they're saying, when somebody starts talking, when the preacher is talking, and the teacher, they're saying, what I got to say is more important than what they're saying. Okay? And therefore, they're not listening. They're not listening. So what I'm saying is listen to God when God's word is being taught. This is the first step in being faithful to God's word. After all, that's why we come to Sunday school, isn't it? That's why we come to church, to hear the Word of God. We don't come just to talk to one another. There's a time for that, but there's also a time for listening. Listening to God when God's Word is being proclaimed, you see. Now, also, when someone is talking during the preaching, it distracts others around who want to hear. There may be somebody sitting beside you. There probably is somebody sitting beside you that wants to hear what the preacher has to say or the teacher has to say. But if you go to talking, you distract it. You distract them. Also, it dishonors God. You're dishonoring, first of all, God's word and God's man. When the word of God is being taught or preached, you dishonor God. So when people are talking during the, when people talk during the preaching, these things go on. It's disrespectful also to the person that's speaking when you start talking to somebody in the audience with you. You're being very disrespectful and to them. It literally is sin. It's wrong to do it. Whenever somebody is speaking, we need to listen. We need to listen. We should come to church with this attitude. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you today. I need you today. I need to hear from you today. God, I need to hear from your word today for my life what I need. We all need God, don't we? We need God every day. And that's why we come to church, to hear from God, that he might give us what we need while we're here on Sunday morning in Sunday school and in church time. The most valuable time probably in our lives is probably Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night when we're hearing the Word of God, the Word of God. We're hearing the most precious book there is, most valuable book there is, you see. So come to church with the right attitude. Lord, I need you. I need you, God. And I want to hear from you today. I want to hear from your word today what I need in my life. These are very important things. We should come with our heart open towards God. Our heart open towards God. Nothing else but towards God. Focusing on him, you see. Because he is the one that's going to help us. We know that we live in a world of trouble. And we sure need God's power, don't we? To go through this life that we're living today. We need his help. We need his help. So first thing, listen to God when his word is preached. Listen to God when his word is preached. The second thing in being faithful to God's word is do what God's word tells us to do. Do what God's word tells us to do. You know, I'm concerned about the fact that I don't know a lot about this book. There's a lot in here I'll never know. But what concerns me the most is what I do know, am I doing it? Am I doing it? Am I doing what God gives me instruction to do? This is very, very important in our life. This is being faithful to God's word. Listen when God speaks to us and also do what God's word tells us to do. We often hear the word, the question says, what does it mean to be a Bible-believing Christian? What does it mean to be a Bible-believing Christian? Number one, it simply means I believe the Bible. Amen? I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it. I believe every word of it. A lot of things I don't know, a lot of things I don't understand, but I still believe it. You see, and it's very, very important that we realize this. Do what the Bible tells us to do. Do what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us to be faithful to God's house. We need to be faithful to God's house. Amen? God tells us, his word tells us to be faithful to him. We need to be faithful to him. You know, whatever God's word tells us, James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1 and verse number 22. Also, we find in James chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. See, so we need to be faithful. Also, do what God's word tells us to do. Whatever God's word instructs us, we ought to be busy doing it. This is how to be faithful to God's word. Do it. Just simply do it, you know. And so we realize, first of all, we need to listen to God when his word is being taught or preached. We need to do what God's word tells us to do. And number three, we need to study the Bible. Preacher emphasizes this a lot. Reading the Bible is very important, but studying the Bible is more important. Studying the Bible. Now, I'll be the first to say that studying is work. Studying is hard work. It's mentally exhausting. It really is. Studying is work. So we need to study the Bible. Now, why study the Bible? The word study means to make an effort. To make an effort. to be diligent, okay? To simply to work. That's what study means. We need to study the Bible. Some thoughts about studying the Bible. First of all, we need to study the Bible to please God. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We need to study the Bible to please God. To please God. Now, I know everybody in this room today wants to please God. And the key to it is studying the Bible. Studying the Bible. Reading the Bible. Meditating upon it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God expects us to study the Bible. Now notice here something about this verse. First of all, three things. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That word approved means acceptable. Acceptable to God. In other words, God wants to use you. God will use you. If you study the word of God, you'll be acceptable to him as far as telling people about the word by God. So first of all, study to show thyself approved unto God. He says also, study to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, probably the hardest thing in life for Christians to do sometimes is to talk to other people about the Lord. But the thing that's going to help us to want to talk to more people about the Lord is study the Bible. You know, when you get something in you, when you get full of something, you want to get it out, don't you? Right? You want to get it out. Especially when you're talking about the Bible. And as you study the Bible and God gives you things in the Bible, and he wants you to take those things he's given you and tell somebody else what he has showed you, you see. And that's the whole key in studying the Bible, to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman, listen, we are workmen for Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? We're workmen for him. And we don't want to be ashamed of him. He says we're ashamed of him when it's the sinful death of this world. He's going to what? Be ashamed of us, right? So we need not to be ashamed of him. And the key to not being ashamed is to know the Bible, to study the Bible. Have something in you to give out, to give it out. You know, and that comes from studying the Bible. So we need to study to please God. Also, study to show thyself rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing what the Bible says so you can tell it truthfully and know this is what God says, the word of God. So we see here, studying, we need to study to please God, first of all. All of us want to be approved of God. All of us want to be a workman that needed not to be ashamed. All of us want to rightly divide the word of truth. And this comes from studying. This comes from studying. And this will please God. This will please God. This is being faithful to God's word. Being faithful to God's word. Also, we need to study to increase our faith. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Study, we see first of all, to please God. Study to increase our faith. Your faith and my faith will never grow apart from the Word of God. We have to read the Bible. We have to study the Bible in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God gives us understanding as we read it, as we meditate upon it. Listen, you have a teacher in you, the Holy Spirit. He's there to teach you the Word of God. He's there to teach me the Word of God. The greatest teacher there's ever been is the Spirit of God that lives within us, you see. We need to study to increase our faith. We need to study to please God. We also need to study to know what the Bible says. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Look at chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Study to know what the Bible says. You know, many people believe only what they are told. That's sad, isn't it? Many people just know what they're told. That's all they believe, is what they're told. But we see in 1 Peter here, The writer here is in chapter 3, verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. But sanctify the Lord God in your what? Hearts. Sanctify, that is, set aside the Lord God in your hearts, His word, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Study the Bible so you be able to know how to respond to people that ask you things. Now, don't think that you're going to be able to answer everybody's question. That's not going to be true. Because some people are going to ask you a question just to tempt you and to test you, which has nothing to do with God or salvation like that. But we need to be able to verify to somebody from the Scriptures the reason or the hope that is within us. The fact that we know that we're saved. It's very important to know that you're saved and know how you got saved. These things are very important, you see. And therefore, we can relate to people this. Cults recruit members because they don't know the Bible. Cults recruit people in churches today because they don't know what they believe. And therefore, if a cult will come along and tell you something, and they'll believe it and go that way. See, but if you're grounded, if you know what the Bible teaches, you know what you believe from the Bible, then they won't move you, because you're grounded in the book, you're grounded in the Word of God, and therefore they're not going to withdraw you from what you believe. You see, can you show from the Bible what you believe and why you believe it? Can you show from the Bible what you believe and why you believe what you believe? This is very important, in studying the Bible. Study the Bible to know what you believe. We must be able to support our belief, not from what I think, but the Word of God. The Word of God. This is what people want to hear. You know, we can go out and talk to people. We can talk to them a lot about ourselves, what God has done for us. This is very important sometimes. But the basic thing we need to share with them is what the Word of God tells, what the Word of God shows us. Why I know what I know, based upon the Word of God, because this is something we need to know. We need to study the Word of God to know what we really believe. We need also study the Word of God to know how to live. How to live. The Word of God instructs us how we ought to live as believers. You know that? He gives us instructions here. As believers, we're not to live like the world. We're to be different as God's children. And God's Word tells us how we're to live. In Philippians chapter 2, turn there. Look at verse number 3. First of all, the Bible tells us how to live right before other believers. Before other believers. In the midst of other people that are Christians. How we're to live. What we're to do. The Bible says, let nothing, in Philippians 2, 3, let nothing be done through vainglory, but notice, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem who? Others, right? Is that what your Bible says? Others. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Better than themselves, you see. In other words, we're to be lowly in mind, esteeming others better than we are. You see, not boasting of who we are and what we know and what we've done and all this, you see. This is how we're to live before other believers. Make much of them. You know, in doing so, you encourage them. You encourage them to continue to walk with the Lord and live for the Lord when we do that, you see. Also, when we study and know how to live right before our families. Before our families. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 21. Verse 19 says, first of all, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. In Colossians 3, verse 19. This is how we're to do our families. Verse 20 tells the children to obey your parents. And verse 21 says, Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Lest they be discouraged. You see, the Bible gives instructions of how we're to live. As a husband, as wife, as children, how we're to live. Listen, this is the most important book in the whole world, folks, the Bible. It tells us how to be saved, and how to live after we are saved. And the promises we have one day of going to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity. What else can we know? What else can we do we need in this life as a believer, you see? So we need to study to please God, study to increase our faith, excuse me, and study to know how to live right before others, believers, and before our family, and also before those outside the church. We need to know how to live before those outside the church, people that are lost. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6 tells us this, how we're to live before those outside the church. We see walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Walk in wisdom. Ask God for wisdom when you talk to people about the Lord that are saved. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. With grace seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Every man. When you start talking to people about the Lord, it's very important that we ask God, first of all, for wisdom. That we might say the right thing. We might be tactful. We might be loving. Having compassion. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that some have a compassion making a difference. Making a difference when people speak with compassion, you see. So we see here, being faithful to the Word of God. Listen to God when His Word is preached and taught. Excuse me. Do what God's Word tells us to do. And thirdly, to study the Bible. Study the Bible. Study the Bible to please God. Study the Bible to increase our faith. Study the Bible to know how to live right. And study the Bible to know how to live before people, believers, our family, and also those outside the church. So faithful to God's Word is so important in our life. We might live the way God wants us to live. Now I'm thankful that He's given us that to give us instruction that we need. Give us instruction that we need. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse number 8. Verse 18, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:18 again, back where we were. The Bible, the Word of God. Look at it again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We talked about being faithful to God's Word. Now, when we look at God's Word in generality, we see here, first of all, it's despised by the foolish. It's despised by the foolish. We said here, this verse says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. Though the lost people, the Word of God is foolishness. It's foolish to them. The Bible says in many places, but in two places in the book of Psalms, chapter 14 and verse 53, verse 1, basically the same thing. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we see here, the Word of God is despised by the foolish, those that don't know Christ as Savior. They don't want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with it, you see. And we see this here. Seeing, in Psalm 50, verse 17, the Bible says, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my word behind thee. That's the foolish people in the world today that are lost. That's how they regard the Word of God. They hate the Word of God. They don't want it. Mainly because it brings conviction to the heart. And it pricks them because it realizes, tells them who they are. The Word of God is like a mirror, is it not? It reflects back to us who we really are when we begin to read it, when we begin to study it. But the Bible, the Word of God, we need to be faithful to it. It's the book of all ages. In Psalm 119, turn there, please. We're going to look at a few verses there. Book of Psalm 119. This book tells much about the Bible. Psalm 119 does. It's a wonderful psalm. Look at verse number 89. The Bible is the book of all ages. You know the verse by heart. Probably most of you do. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever. How long is forever? It's forever, right? Amen. He says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. In heaven. The Bible is the book of all ages. All ages. Why not be faithful to it? Someone said the Bible is the bestseller. Always has been, always will be, I believe, on the market today of all books. Because it's God's word. It's God's word. You see. So it's the book of all ages. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven. We also see in Psalm 119, look at verse 103. Turn back to 103. Turn over to 103, I should say, right there at you. The word of God, the scriptures that we have, is food for our souls. Food for our souls. You and I will be not too happy if we went to the table, Brother Alford, and the plates were there, and the bowls were there, and the glasses were there, well, there wasn't no food, would we? We'd be very dissatisfied, wouldn't we? We'd probably get up and go try to find something. But you know, sometimes the Christians, if we're not careful, we'll look everywhere in the world for something that we think we need spiritually rather than the Bible, and the Bible's where we need to be. Because we see here, the Bible is food for the soul. Look at verse 103. The Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my, what? Taste. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God. Oh, I would that God would help me to love the word of God that much. That much. Knowing that the word of God is sweet to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth, the word of God. Is food for our souls. Therefore, we need to be faithful to God's word. You see, to grow, to be strong, to be have nutrition in our inner man, that we might be able to stand in these days in which we live. You see, it takes food to survive. Does it not? The physical life. It takes food to survive the spiritual life too. And the word of God is our food. The word of God is our food to give us that we need also. We also see in verse number 11, Psalm 119, turn back to verse 11, something else about the Word of God. The Word of God, we see the precepts are written in our heart. Notice it says in Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my what? Heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, when we study the Bible, when we want to learn from the Bible, the word of God comes and gets memorized in our hearts, in our minds. And we see then the word of God directs us and helps us to sin less. Amen? Not to be sinless, but to sin less. Because the word of God directs us and instructs us as we go through life in things we ought not to do. Ought not to do. So we see the word of God is our precepts written into our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look at verse 105. Psalm 119, look at verse 105. Also, the word of God furnishes a light in darkness. Would you not agree with me? We're living in a dark world. We're living in a dark world. We need light, don't we? We need light. And that light can come from the word of God. It furnishes a light in darkness. Thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is a light to us in this dark world. The dark world. How to cope with things, how to deal with people, how to deal with our own selves in this world, we get instruction from the word of God. The Bible. The word of God. So we see the word of God, we need to be faithful to the word of God. It furnishes light. Also, look over verse 140 in Psalm 119. Look over to verse 140. We see the Bible is loved by God's children. Is loved by God's children. Verse 14, Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant, what? Loveth it. Loveth it. Thy word is very pure. It's very true. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Loving the word of God. Love the word of God more than anything else, you see. We see is loved by the saints. Is loved by the saints. So these are precious things from the Word of God, how we need to be faithful to God's Word. To be faithful to God's Word. It's the book of all ages. It's food for our souls. It's divinely inspired also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, isn't it? And so we see it's inspired. The precepts are written in our heart. We see it furnishes the light. It's loved by God's children, the Word of God. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. It's mighty also. The Word of God is powerful in its influence. It's mighty in its influence. We see in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word like a fire, and the Lord and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The Word of God will crush a heart. The Word of God will prick a heart, convict a heart. You see, I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, pricked my heart and convicted me of my sin as a sinner. Helped me to realize I needed to be saved. The Word of God is mighty in influence. It has saving power. Thank God for that, folks. Romans 1:16. I'm thankful that the Word of God has saving power. We see it. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the Word of God has mighty influence as a crushing hammer, also as a saving power, the Word of God. Thank God for the power of God. We also see that it's a probing instrument also. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a probing instrument to convict us and draw us to Christ. The Word of God also purifies our life. In John 17:17, John writes this, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is what? Truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God purifies our life. I'm trying to explain why we need to be faithful to God's word. Faithful to God's word. The benefits of being faithful. And by the way, the Word of God was written for many purposes. I want to talk about three of them. First of all, the Word of God is written, first of all, to prove the divinity of Jesus Christ. It's written for that reason. In John chapter number 20, look at it there, please, in verse 31. John 20, verse 31, the Bible says this, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the what? Christ." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. "And that believing you might have life through his name." So we see, the Bible is written for a purpose. First of all, to prove the divinity of Jesus Christ, to prove the fact that he was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. "And that believing on him, you might have eternal life." You might have life through his name. Also, the purpose of the Bible is to give hope to man. In Romans chapter 15, and verse number 4, Romans 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says this here, Romans 15 verse 4, says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. We might have hope. We see the Word of God was written for to prove the divinity of Christ and also to give us hope. And also, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Word of God was written that we may to give us knowledge of eternal life. I love this verse. 1 John 5, 13, most of you know it by heart. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." He's talking about believers. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, "that you may know that you have eternal life." Aren't you glad you know that you have eternal life? Aren't you glad you know that you're saved today? I'm glad I know I have eternal life and I'm saved. I'm glad I know that. I don't doubt it. I don't pray that at all. I know I'm saved. "And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." The Son of God. So the Bible was written to give us knowledge of eternal life. Eternal life. We need to value this book, folks. We need to realize we need to be faithful to the Word of God. The Word of God. We also see we need to be faithful to it because it is sacred. It's not to be changed. And my, how people in the world today are changing it. You know, we know the verse in Revelation 22, verse 19. But turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Look at Proverbs, chapter 30. See what the Bible says about the Word of God being altered. Proverbs, chapter 30. Look at verse number 5. And then verse 6. Every word of God is what? Pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Look at verse number 6. Add thou not unto his words. Talking about the Bible. Lest he reprove thee and thou be found a what? A liar. We're not to add to the word of God. Revelation tells us we're not to take away from it too. The word of God is pure. It's not to be changed, okay? It's sacred. And therefore, we need to leave it like it is. Leave it like it is. We're not to add to his word. If we do, he's going to reprove us, the Bible says. The Bible also is a, it contains seed in Matthew, Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, the sower soweth the seed. Last but not least, the word of God, it contains the message we ought to deliver. It contains the message we ought to deliver. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, these things speak and exalt and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The word of God. We're to speak this word with authority given by God. Not us, but God gives us authority to teach it and to preach it. May we be faithful to the word of God. My, what a blessed book we have, folks. And may God help us to love it and cherish it more than we ever have. Because it is God's divine word. Amen? Let's be faithful to it. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for instructing us and giving us hope, giving us guidance in our life. And we're thankful, Lord, that we know it's pure, it's true. And God, we know that it's without any error. And God, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be faithful to it. To be faithful in proclaiming it, faithful in teaching it, faithful in living it. And oh, most of all, Lord, help us to deliver it to those that we come in contact with, the good news of how you love them and you died for them. Father, have your will and way now in the next service. Bless our preacher, bless the teaching, bless the preaching, bless the music, all that's done. Lord, may you be honored. And God, if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray, God, the Spirit of God would draw that individual to Christ today before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.